Welcome to Caffeinated Conspiracies, where mysteries, conspiracies, and the unexplained come to life. Grab your favourite brew and get ready for a mind-bending journey through the extraordinary.
I'm Omar. And
I'm Glenn. And together, we're your hosts as we sip on curiosity and explore the enigmatic.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the unknown, unravelling tales of intrigue and shedding light on the secrets that have baffled the world for centuries.
We're not just here to tell you the stories.
We're here to question them, dissect them, and invite you to join the conversation.
So, brew your curiosity, prepare to be captivated, and let's embark on this caffeinated adventure together.
This is Caffeinated Conspiracies.
And we're your guides through the uncharted.
Grab your coffee and let's dive in.
Welcome to a journey into a mysterious and puzzling tale surrounding the Bermuda Triangle. Grab your coffee, join us as we navigate through the intriguing enigma that has captivated minds for decades. In this episode, we'll unravel the mysteries, explore the theories behind the perplexing occurrence in the infamous stretch of ocean. So settle in, stay tuned, and let's dive into the mystique of the Bermuda Triangle.
He's done it. He's absolutely done it. Well done, Omer. For the first time in season two, we've managed to get through that little opening clip without messing up. I absolutely...
And there were tongue twisters in there. I'm
sure there were some tongue twisters in there. Yes, welcome to the season finale. We made it once again. Season two, done and dusted. Well, we will be after we finish the episode. And on this week's episode, you've got myself, as always. We've got Omer, as always. And this week, we have another guest with us. We have Liz. Not the Liz that we had on the episode about the Mary Celeste. No, no. This is a different Liz. This is Liz from another podcast. Liz... Well, you're here. You may as well tell us what your podcast is. Go ahead.
I host Ouch, Was That a Ghost? We cover paranormal, true crime, cryptids. I did my first UFO episode the other day.
Ooh.
I'm so excited. It didn't post yet. It should be out in a few weeks. But
I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Me and Omer love aliens and things like that. Pretty much
I'm
everything
convinced
we talk
all of them are
about.
Aliens. Everything is aliens.
Everything?
Omer, yeah,
just everything. I can find a way to connect everything to aliens.
What is it? 6 degrees of aliens?
yeah.
Much. Yeah.
I mean, I did it in our Jack Ripper episode. So like anything.
What? You did aliens to Jack Ripper?
Yeah, I don't know how he did it, but he also confused the time period as well and decided that Jack the Ripper was between World War II.
Time travel in aliens.
time traveling aliens.
Anyone can do it. Aliens can.
It's just a giant episode of Doctor Who at this point. But we have got Liz in this week's episode. And thank you so much for joining us on our season finale. It's great to finally get another show on as well. I know we've had one already in this season, plus some other guests. And I can say that season three is chocked with guests, which is going to be amazing. And it's going to be hot on the heels of this season. But let's forget about season three for now, because that's in the future. We're here. We're talking about Bermuda Triangle. Now, usually on the show, I go and ask, what do we know about Bermuda Triangle? And I go around us a little bit. Now, before we started recording, we already asked Liz, and she said she didn't really remember much. It's all from sort of school and things like that. But I will just quickly ask you, off the top of your head, what do you remember about the Bermuda Triangle? What can you tell us?
I don't remember when. A while ago, 4 or 5 planes went missing. I know boats don't like going through there because signal gets lost. I remember hearing something about like some kind of gas might be the cause of it,
yeah.
Or weather. And that's really all I remember about it. And aliens, of course.
So Liz, as you said there, you know, they've lost a few planes. Boats are scared of going through. And you said something about the gas there as well. We'll get into that because there is quite a lot I want to talk about in regards to this. So there was quite a few different things, but good that you know some stuff. That's brilliant. Let's see what Omer knows. Let's see if he knows anything.
I got all the same stuff. Bunch of missing boats, aircraft. Like, what was the other one? There was something else that, signals get thrown about. I got, like, all the weird theories come across my desk, but, like, half of them are like, do I care about them? I mentioned, like, everything's always aliens. Aliens is a big part of this.
Yes, it is. We've got a lot to go through, so don't worry. All I'm saying is...
Because this one is been in pop culture and been around for ages.
Mm.
Like, everyone has their own theory on it.
Yeah.
So there are many theories to this one. So it's, I think this one's going to end up a little longer than it should be.
Well, that's why we've saved this one for the season finale, because we knew it would be a good one. Now, if any of you noticed that this season, last season, everything sort of went full circle. We ended up in Atlantis, and this time we end up in the Bermuda Triangle. Again, people say Atlantis is part of the Bermuda Triangle as well. There's a theory that's in there. So it sort of feels like we've just gone back to season one again. It's very peculiar. But yeah, I did, like I say, I've done a lot of research into this. I've had a massive fascination with the Bermuda Triangle for a very long time. Not just because of pop culture. It's just very interesting. You know me, old man. I love the unknown. I get shocked when no one finds out. They go, oh, this is unknown, but it was never solved. Oh my God, you never solved it. Well, no, if it was going to be solved, they wouldn't have put it on a TV show called The Unknown. You know, The Unexplained. You know, you wouldn't put it there.
Unsolved mysteries.
Exactly. And this is one of those. It's still, scientists say, oh yeah, we know what it was. We know it's this. We know it's that. We still can't definitively prove it. So, without further ado, let's get into it. So like I said, I've got quite a fair bit here this time, because like I say, there is a lot, and a lot has happened. So the Bermuda Triangle is a section of the North Atlantic Ocean off North America in which more than 50 ships and 20 planes are said to have mysteriously disappeared. The area, whose boundaries are not universally agreed upon, has a triangular shape that reaches approximately the Atlantic coast of Florida to Bermuda, to an island known as the Greater Antilles. That bit sort of, I didn't know that they didn't, it's not specifically sort of agreed upon where they actually begin.
This is so off topic, but I just covered Bridgewater Triangle, and isn't that strange that in that same area that has the mysterious boundaries, it's semi, you know, but it's fluid where the boundaries are, same thing, but it still has a triangular shape.
Yeah, and I mean, is there something to do with the triangle? Could that be it? Could it be that the shape's a bit, I don't know, peculiar? I don't know. I'm just making those things up here now.
Given half the theories are like, we're not 100% sure. Here's some crazy theories saying that the walls of it change and move isn't so far off. So maybe they are still speaking of the same triangle, just it does change shape over time. But always stays a triangle.
It just moves. You know? Just rotates. Reports of unexplained occurrences in the region date back to the mid-19th century. Some ships were discovered completely abandoned for no apparent reason. Others have transmitted no distress signals and have never been heard from again. Aircraft have been reported and then vanished, and rescue missions that are said to have vanished when flying in the area. So they've gone out to find them, and even they've disappeared. However, wreckages has not always been found, and some of the theories advanced to explain the repeated and mysterious events. Stories of strange activity within the Bermuda Triangle date back hundreds. The earliest story was told by Christopher Columbus and his crew during his first journey across the Atlantic Ocean in 1492. Columbus reported many strange sightings within the Bermuda Triangle. The first of these was that the stars appeared to move around the sky. Another was that Columbus saw a light, like a candle, moving up and down in the distance. When he asked the crew to look at the light, it vanished and then reappeared many times.
Nah, I call shenanigans. I don't trust anything Columbus says.
The most unusual thing that Columbus says that he saw was glowing objects coming out of the water and shooting towards the sky. Many think this must have been the light on the shore from another ship. However, some people believe that Columbus saw the very first UFO. Or at least the first UFO, you know, sighting recorded.
Wow, I've never heard that.
Yeah, I heard that quite a while ago, but I can't remember where I heard it. And that's the crazy thing, because I'm pretty sure I heard it on a cartoon. And of all places to get my knowledge.
And Rick and Morty?
Yeah, well, there you go.
It was just Rick messing with
Columbo. I don't think Adult Swim can be trusted in this matter. I don't think we can put them down as a credible source.
You say Adult Swim can't be trusted. I don't trust Columbus. The man was like famous liar, an idiot, and he made it to India, didn't he? Not America? Sorry.
No, he was meant to go to India and end up in America.
That's my point.
Yeah.
He's not very good at his factual information.
So, according to most sources, the Bermuda Triangle was coined by the author Vincent Gaddis, who used the name in a 1964 magazine article, which he called The Deadly Bermuda Triangle, about the mysterious disappearances in the water near Bermuda. Theories attempting to explain the strange phenomenon associated with the Bermuda Triangle range from the scientific to the supernatural. What is causing so many disappearances? Some have blamed fierce weather conditions or freak natural disasters, while others have turned to the supernatural to provide answers. Whether the real reason, there are still countless disappearances that leave experts and internet sleuths, like ourselves, still scratching their heads and asking what really happened in the Bermuda Triangle.
What happens in the Bermuda Triangle stays in the Bermuda Triangle.
I see what you did there. In 1881, the Ellen Austin set off from Liverpool, destined for New York City, carrying passengers emigrating to America. The ship had been to sea for several weeks when the captain took an unplanned shortcut through the Saragossa Sea. Am I right there, Omer? You're usually right with these things.
I couldn't pronounce it any better.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, we'll agree with that. It sounds right. If I have said it wrong, please leave a note in the comments and tell me how to say it, because, yeah. Known for its stormy nature, this route led the Ellen Austin through the Bermuda Triangle. Shortly into the detour, the captain sighted another vessel sailing erratically in the distance. The ship appeared to be abandoned and was moving unpredictably. Convinced that it was some form of a trap, Captain Griffin of the Ellen Austin kept a safe distance for 2 days before ordering the crew to go aboard and investigate why the ship wasn't responding to their hails. The unnamed schooner was found to be abandoned with an intact cargo. There was no sign of violence, no indication that there had been any reasonable excuse to abandon the ship. Captain Griffin ordered that a small selection of the crew captain the ship to sail it together to New York and collect its salvage. Shortly after resuming their journey, a heavy storm separated the two ships. When the storm passed and Captain Griffin once again sighted the mysterious ship, he pulled up alongside it and once again found his own crew were missing. So he put his own crew on the ship, got hit by a storm, went back, his crew had gone. And he was sailing alongside it as well. I mean, that... Oh. Another one we've got on the 4th of March 1918. This is one of the more famous ones as well, ship-wise. The Collier USS Cyclops set sail destined for Baltimore, Maryland. With no scheduled stops along her route, she was due to arrive in port with a full load of manganese ore on the 13th of March. However, the ship never arrived at her intended destination. The last transmission received from the ship reported that weather fair or well, and the lack of any wreckage or SOS message has led to speculation what might have caused the ship and her crew to vanish somewhere in a 9-day window. To this day, the disappearance of the USS Cyclops and her 305 crew remains the largest recorded loss in US naval history. And like I say, that is one of the more famous ones. Now, I've not gone too much into that one because Omer, as we've found out in this season and we've planned next season, we like to have an episode about a ship that seems to have mysteriously disappeared or something has happened to it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, you're probably going to hate this question, but from the skeptical point of view, are you sure that it wasn't pirates at all?
That was my call. Pirates. I was going to say the same thing.
In the... Yeah, sort of 1888. Yeah, I could see that. I really can see that.
No. What was maybe it? Not. The Cyclops was.
The Cyclops was 1918. I mean, I don't see that one being pirates, not so much, especially like
you had pirates all the way. Now. Privateers.
Yeah. I know, but this was a naval ship. I mean, you've right? got to have balls to attack a naval ship. 305 men on it as well.
And because the only reason it's in this list is because it went through the Bermuda Triangle. The only reason, one of the things that known about the Bermuda Triangle is radio waves generally get stopped there. What a better place to be a pirate.
Yeah.
Good point.
Cell phone service.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Well, another ship, the Witchcraft, was a 23-foot luxury cruiser that disappeared on the evening of 22nd of December, 1967. The boat's owner had invited his close friends onto the ocean to look at Christmas lights over the waters of Miami. Something about this one tells me that he planned this. They weren't his friends. He didn't like them. He got them on board this boat and set sail, and he did one. He's the only one who survived, I bet you. Sort of like the Titanic all over again, this one. And the owner indicated that it wasn't an emergency. They would fire a flare if there was any emergencies, so that the Coast Guards could see them, because they weren't going to travel too far from the coast. However, when they got to the Bermuda Triangle, they fired the flares. Nobody saw it. There's no lifeboats. And neither the Witchcraft nor its passengers were ever seen again. So again, that just disappeared as well.
It was named the Witchcraft.
Yeah.
I call Witchcraft.
Probably, that's a clever name.
It is. I like that, actually.
I mean, the fact that that was the name and then, like, suspicious things happened.
Yeah.
It's like calling a boat the Unsinkable.
Well, we went there.
Yeah.
So, probably the most famous event of the Bermuda Triangle was the fate of Flight 19. It's basically still never been answered to this day. Flight 19 was a group of 5 Avenger torpedo bombers took off from Fort Lauderdale on the 5th of December 1945. They'd expected their 3-hour bombing journey to be just as uneventful as any other flight. Shortly after dropping their payload of replica bombs, the patrol began to run into trouble. Lieutenant Charles C. Taylor, an experienced pilot, believed that his compass had started to malfunction and that Flight 19 had been flying in the wrong direction. Concerned, Taylor contacted the Navy flight instructor, who was flying close to the Florida coast. With the weather getting increasingly worse, Taylor went against protocol, pointing a lost plane towards a setting sun, believing they were somewhere over the Florida Keys. Taylor adjusted his head in an attempt to navigate the Gulf of Mexico. Sensing Taylor's mistake, some of his men challenged his decision and continued to fly northeast and convinced him to turn tail and head back westward. For reasons unknown, however, he was once again turned around and still concerned that they were somewhere over the Gulf. As the flight flew away from the land, their transmissions became fainter and fainter. Having flown for more than their allotted time, the crew was starting to get concerned that they wouldn't be able to correct their navigation before they ran out of fuel. In his final transmission, Taylor told his men that once the first plane dropped below 10 litres of fuel, they would all ditch together for a greater chance of rescue. A few short minutes later, the transmissions ended. Certain that the flight had ditched into the ocean, the Navy immediately launched search and rescue effort. 2 Marina flying boats were scrambled to search for the missing Flight 19. However, 20 minutes after taking off, they disappeared from radar. Neither the 13 crewmen, 5 pilots of Flight 19, nor the wreckages. 14. No, Flight 19.
Flight 19 had 14 men. 13 airmen were lost in search of Flight 19.
13 crewmen and 5 pilots.
Okay.
See, I could see one pilot. What is that thing called when you like trust yourself over your navigation and then you kind of.
Using your intuition, or like it's like got that gut feeling. Gut instincts. He's sort of.
But there's something there, if pilots do that, they lose it, and then they have no idea where they're going, and then they, you know, most of the time are just lost forever.
Yeah, I can't even think what it's called, but I know what you mean.
But 5, I don't believe that.
Yeah, but yeah, all of them, and like I say, to this day, they never found them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is one of the more famous ones. That, like I say, there's been no wreckage of any of the planes ever found. The, like I say, they don't actually know where they went missing. So it's bizarre. And they say that they had the main captain of the pilot of the plane, because obviously there were all separate planes, one up front, he had an only sort of a standard compass. He had like one of them fancy ones as well, and they both went completely wrong. So, I mean, that's just flying over the Bermuda Triangle, where we've said like there's magnetic fields and things like that. Again, we'll get a bit more into that. This last one, like I say, because we have gone through quite a bit here, more than we usually do. But like
there's
I say,
a lot more that we're not covering.
Yeah, there's loads. There is so much. But this one, unlike any other disappearances, the Great Isaac Lighthouse Mystery is unique in that both lighthouse keepers were stationed on land when they vanished. A barren island, Great Isaac Rock, already had a grim history. Local lore told of a ship that wrecked there with no survivors, except a single infant. First put into service in the mid-1800s, the lighthouse housed the island. Only two inhabitants were its keepers. On the 4th of August, 1969, a small boat was launched to check on the lighthouse, as routine. The calls had gone unanswered. Upon arrival, the investigators discovered that the island was empty. There was no sign of the two guardians. A hurricane had passed over the island shortly before, but the lack of damage to the living quarters raised questions as to why two experienced lightkeepers wouldn't have stayed put where they were safest. Others believe the pair were caught in a drug smuggling ring, or perhaps they were both kidnapped, but with no evidence or foul play to suggest anything untoward. The fate of the keepers remains a mystery. This is not the only time that isolating lighthouse keepers have disappeared in the strangest circumstances. After three men vanished from Flannan Isles, a small group in the northwestern coast of Scotland in the 1900s, which is going to be an episode in a later season, because I heard the story not long ago and it fascinated me.
Stay away from lighthouses.
Yeah, I'm learning that as well. I mean, I don't like the ocean. The ocean terrifies me, so I'm good. I'm perfectly fine. So from that, like I said, there was a lot there to sort of comprehend. I have gone through quite a lot more than we usually do. First off, Liz, on that, what have you taken away from that bit of information there? I mean, like I say, there was a lot. Try and decompress it as best you can. What do you think? What sort of jumped out at you the most?
I feel like everything individually could be explained, but as a whole, it seems like a lot. But then, like he said, you could just be throwing things in there because it happened in that area. But the lighthouse keeper, I mean, did they even check for like ports of boats along the side, like scrapes on the dirt or anything?
Who knows? But apparently they were experienced lighthouse keepers. There was just the two of them. And yeah, they just disappeared. I mean,
together at the
same
time.
Yeah, that bit's odd. I can understand one person disappearing and the other person waking up in the middle of the night going, hey, open it. Where's Jeff gone? You know,
because I figure like if you're working on a lighthouse, that must be so lonely. I don't know the rates, but I'm assuming the suicide rates there are probably crazy.
Probably.
I mean, the number of people in a lighthouse is low.
Yeah, that's what we don't need anymore.
I mean, you don't need a manned lighthouse anymore. Lighthouses are still required.
Yeah, but it's not like it was then. I mean, like I said, it's too fair. It's 1969. It's still not a million years ago, is it?
No,
I mean,
it's not at all.
I know we're going to think, oh, when we think 30 years and we think, oh, we're still at that age that we still think maybe the 60s. But it's not. It's like the 90s and you're just sort of like, oh, wow. So it is a bit further back than we'd expect, but it's still not that far. Not compared to like 1884, where we had a ship go missing, or 1918, where we had another ship go missing. This is just two random people on an island that have just disappeared. But yeah.
I mean, just to put it in perspective, the most recent case I found of the Bermuda Triangle was one in 2017.
Okay.
It was an aircraft carrier. I couldn't find out, like, besides the pilot and crew, there wasn't many people on it, but it literally just vanished.
See what I mean? This place is just baffling.
MU-2B aircraft?
Absolutely baffling.
Yeah, so things still went missing quite recently.
Yeah.
On the 2017, could they recover the aircraft, or it was just gone?
I think it was later found the wreckage, but none of the bodies of the pilot or crew.
Found in the water?
I don't know. I never found that.
Oh, come on, old man. You've been finding police reports for all sorts. Why couldn't you find this one?
I didn't do this one that deep. Because there's so much around it. It would have, like, taken me forever to search into everything individually.
That's what I mean. I had, like, 2 hours spare because I couldn't do any work. I mean, Omer, what about you? What sort of jumped out at you from what we've gone through?
It's not... So the area's known for weird weather conditions and radio signals going out. It's not the crashes or the natural disasters that stick out to me. It's the fact that people go missing. It's like you can find the aircrafts, or there's a couple of them where the boat sank and they found the sunken wreckage. But all the bodies are gone. Yeah. It's very rare that something that goes missing there that gets found later, that the bodies are found with it.
To be fair, though...
There were a few cases where bodies were found with it, so they were just left off the list of, you know, mysterious things in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, it's bodies were missing and couldn't be found.
We do know as well, when we did on the Titanic episode, that obviously there's all the shoes down there, but obviously they've been... That's where the bodies have basically decomposed and the bones have gone as well because of the ocean and things like that. And obviously, I know it's very different with the Bermuda Triangle because we're looking pretty much instantly to find them, not like so many hundreds of years later. We weren't hundreds of years. It was obviously with the Titanic, it was quite a fair few years later that they went looking for it and found it. But with this, they're sort of like heading out the next day or the same day they've gone missing to look for them. So I suppose if they did find them within a... 2-3 week period, there should at least still be a body either in there or some sort of evidence that there's somebody in it. I know obviously you're gonna have marine life and you're gonna have sharks and things like that, because obviously it's in the Gulf, you know, it's warm climate down there, and you know they're gonna feed down there, but surely there's gonna be at least some sort of evidence that there was somebody there in the plane when it went down, not just that there's just this plane by itself and there's no one in it. But you know, that's probably one of the things that will get explained in the future. We never know. Go on.
No, I don't know if I just misremembered this or made this up in my head. Did I see something? I probably sound stupid, about a bunker or something. I don't know if it was like a National Enquirer thing. That they were talking about like a German or some kind of bunker underneath there, possibly. Oh. Or did I just make that up in my head?
I don't know, but that sounds good.
I don't come across me, so if it exists, I'm now intrigued.
Keep hold of it. That can be your theory at the end.
Now I feel like Googling it, because I don't know if I just made that up or not.
That's awesome. If it is, that is really cool. I didn't know that one. You have to look that one up now.
German bunker found in Bermuda Triangle.
Oh,
so I didn't make it up completely. I have no idea where I heard that, but that's just kind of when you were saying people missing. I don't know why that came into my head.
All right, that's cool. That is actually really interesting. Oh, we might have to do a deep dive into that at some point. But what we are going to do, before we do get into sort of the rest of the theories and all the fun side of things, we are going to take a very quick break.
If you like paranormal, true crime, and some cryptids, or just anything weird, check out Ouch, Was That a Ghost? Brought to you by your host, Liz. You can find Ouch, Was That a Ghost on Spotify, Apple, or any audio platform. New episodes drop every Thursday.
Welcome back to the murky, mysterious depths of the Bermuda Triangle and the heights. There's clouds there too. It goes all the way up. And now I'm learning, because, you know, a lighthouse keeper went missing in 1969. Maybe it goes all the way up to the moon.
Where Mothman is.
Coincidentally landed on the moon the same day, the same year.
So hang on a minute, are you telling me you're trying to put that the Bermuda Triangle somehow has a connection to us landing on the moon?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I mean, I have got a very bizarre story, which I will tell. So when I was a lot younger, we went on a family holiday to the Dominican Republic, which is within the Bermuda Triangle area. And they were telling us a story that there's a big steep pillar of rock a bit further out from the land. And they were telling us that this one day they got there and he was doing a tour and he was showing everyone what it was. There's no boats around. There's no like little boating area around. But one day he did the tour. It was normal. We come back on the tour the next day with another bunch of people. And on this island, this rock, there's no land around it. It is just like a pillar sticking out of the ocean. There was 10 goats hanging on the side of the side of the thing in the mountain, climbing up it. And he said he has no idea how they got there at all. I was like, all right, so what? Some goats have come on. And then he was also telling us a story that there was a fire on the island there as well. And the boats would come down and sort of pick up the water and drop it on the trees to put the fire out. And as they did it, they've accidentally picked up a scuba diver and dropped him on the fire. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. We shouldn't laugh. We really shouldn't laugh. But this was many
terrible way to go.
I know, but I mean, you've got to be able. That must have been when you thought, right, the aliens have got me. What's going on? I have no idea where I am.
Oh my gosh!
Toy Story, the claw.
I mean, it is a way
chosen one,
and I do feel it is a sad story. But at the end of the day, it's still quite a funny. I mean, if that was how I died, I'd love people to tell that story because I think that's brilliant. Died doing what he loved. What, falling out of planes onto fire? No, he was swimming. He was enjoying a swim, and then he helped people by putting out a fire. You know,
man's a hero.
Exactly.
An unchosen hero.
Unchosen hero, but he was a hero nonetheless. So there's my little fun things about the Bermuda Triangle, because like I say, I've been to the edge of it. But let's get into some of the theories. Now, these just aren't our theories. These are actual theories that are out there. These are scientific theories as well as some of the supernatural. Yeah, some not so scientific, more supernatural. And not the Sam and Dean kind of supernatural.
That's in here too.
Have you got ghosts and demons?
No, but I got, the occult.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Oh, I thought you were connecting the actual show to this somehow.
We try.
And I was like, wow.
I mean, technically, just so we can start on this one, is we can connect the show, because one of the leading, out there theories that everyone has is parallel universes. It's a gateway to a parallel universe. So everything that goes in goes missing, because it goes to the other universe. And we can just assume that's Sam and Dean's universe. We don't know what universe it's going to.
And on that, we are done. So we've got, these are some of the theories that we've come up with. And if you have got any of your own, please do jump in. So one of the ones that's been put out there, and apparently there's been some scientific evidence to prove it could be this, but not to definitively say it's this. Rogue waves. It's an unusually large and unpredictable swell of water, typically twice as tall as a normal wave. A few years ago, scientists at the University of Southampton in England claimed that the waters around the Bermuda Triangle were especially ripe for rogue waves due to storms moving from all sides. Some of the waves researchers posited could reach up to 100 feet in height. While scientists' work garnered a ton of attention, it couldn't explain how it would cause a plane to disappear in the Bermuda Triangle.
That's what I was just going to say. I was like, that's great for the boats, but it's so tough to grab the planes out of the
sky. That was my thing as well. I mean, and if it was sort of going that way. Well, that's the thing, though. They're not low flying, though, are they?
I can't remember the name of anything today. Do you know the... like Truman Show type thing with that bubble. Didn't Elon Musk say something years ago about the atmosphere, but there's a name for it. Like not stratosphere or anything. There's some kind of bubble that they say that's up above the Bermuda Triangle.
Ooh. See, this is why I bring guests on, old man. They asked good questions, but unfortunately we don't have the answers.
I'm the most ridiculous person though. I remember the stupidest little facts facts about things, and then I don't remember where I heard it. But
no,
really,
that's good.
That's
good.
Because the random stupid knowledge floating around here.
Hey, no, you've got something. You brought something that I will have to look into that because I don't know. Omer, are you doing some research there quickly, or
I'm double checking.
Okay, I just thought you were texting somebody.
Oh, my phone's turned off.
All right. Okay. So while Omer's looking at that, I've got here that the Bermuda Triangle is one of two places on Earth where a compass will not point true north. Instead, it will point magnetic north. Well, true north is a fixed point where the lines of longitude converge on a map. Magnetic north is constantly shifting. It's the point of the Earth's surface where its magnetic field points directly downward. The difference between the two is called declination. And all trained ships and plane pilots know to account for it when charting their course. Now, could it be that this pilot on Flight 19 didn't account for that? And that's how he got muddled up and he didn't plan it? Because I have heard more to the story that on the day of the flight, he didn't want to do it because he didn't feel great. And he tried to persuade somebody else to do it. And he said, no, you're the captain. You have to do the flight.
Oh, no.
So it could just be that the guy was sick, really couldn't handle it, and completely did not plan for the simplest things that you meant to plan for. We've all done it.
Go with your gut. If you don't want to do something, don't do it. Out of curiosity, where's the other point? Is it on the other side of the Earth completely, or?
No, they're just like, look, they're offset from each other. So magnetic north changes by like 4 degrees.
What? Yeah, it says that there's two points.
True, and it changes like annually, like by like a fraction of a degree.
So no, I understand what that is, but he said that there's two points that do not allow for true north to be.
Let's have a look.
Directed towards
magnetic north.
I'm just wondering if it's on the other side of the Earth completely, or if it's just another random spot.
Okay.
He would have gone the right direction, just not like. He would have been like so far off there where wherever he reached would have been like miles, depending on which direction he was going, actually. He would have most likely be going east. So he would have just ended up further south because of his bad directions.
This is saying it's somewhere near the tip of Greenland. The location of the North Magnetic Pole and the North Geomagnetic Pole. It has shifted ever so slightly. But yeah, it's shown at the moment. It's currently the North Magnetic Pole is in Greenland.
Do you understand what I'm asking? I feel like I'm not...
Yeah. There's two points. It says that there's two points on Earth. So where's the other one?
Yeah, and okay.
So we've got the one that was down that way, but where's the other one? And like I say, it just
says
Greenland.
True North is the North Pole. So magnetic north is Greenland, true north is North Pole. And if you're thinking of where the Bermuda Triangle, like the difference is like that difference.
Yeah, but where's the other point where the compass will point true north instead of magnetic north?
What do you mean? On your compass, it would... So
at the beginning of his story, he said that there's two places on the Earth that do not allow true north to be.
Oh, the other location. Shown.
Yeah, and I think he said Greenland was the other one. So that's not directly on the other side of the Earth, though. No. So I don't understand what makes these points like that.
I think he gave the wrong answer. The other place is literally other side of the planet, isn't it?
How do you find true north?
No. There's another place on Earth that does not show true north.
The true north. Where a compass will point to true north instead of the magnetic north. No, the Bermuda Triangle is one of two places on Earth.
Yeah, one of two. What's the second place?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to ask.
That's what we're trying to find out.
I feel like I'm asking everything wrong. I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. We're idiots, you know. Two places.
I'm just wondering if it's exactly on the other side of the Earth where it doesn't have the ability to find true north.
Okay. Bermuda Triangle, somewhere, true north, where is it? this is saying the North Pole as well, but I don't know if anyone's actually put it on the North Pole.
Why is this word for it?
Yeah. No, unfortunately, I can't find that information, so we're going to have to look for it at some point and put it in here. But yeah, no, unfortunately, I can't find it, but we will find it, and we will put it on, I don't know, we'll probably add it on as like a little ended recording thing at the end of when we find it, and just be like, here's the other place where...
I'm sorry.
Fair enough. No, no, it's not your fault. I'll stop asking questions. No, you're asking good questions. These are questions that I should have looked at, but I didn't.
No one answers it. Everyone says there's two, but no one says what the...
Yeah, exactly, because obviously everyone's fascinated with Bermuda Triangle. The other place might just be like some pizza hut somewhere, you know, that no one really cares about, you know. But let's carry on with the theories, but oh man, no surprise here. Where there's a conspiracy theory, there are usually UFOs. In this case, yep, the story goes that aliens use the Bermuda Triangle as a portal to our planet. There they gather the people and technology they need to conduct their research on our species. This theory explains why so many ships and planes that go down in the Bermuda Triangle are never discovered. There you go. Does that answer your question, Omer?
I think you're right, but the aliens are not above.
Well, maybe they probe down in the bunker.
There we go. Oh, see, I mean, we're getting all the good ones in this episode. I love it.
They're not above, they're below.
Here's what you said before about gas as well. So in 2016, a group of researchers from the Arctic University of Norway announced that they had discovered a massive half-mile craters at the bottom of the Barents Sea off the coast of Norway. The craters, they hypothesized, were caused by sudden explosions of deep underwater deposits of methane. Lots of conspiracy theories... glommed onto the idea, arguing that the phenomenon might be responsible for shipwrecks in the Bermuda Triangle. However, just a few months later, the researchers themselves burst that bubble, as it were, we are not making any links to the Bermuda Triangle. They said in a 2016 statement published by the Centre of Arctic Gas Hydrate Environment and Climate Coalition, the Climate Coalition of Scientists that investigate Arctic marine geology. Jesus, that's a big name. But yeah, basically they're looking there, but it's just an idea, but they've not actually done anything with it. They're just guessing it's something there. What is going on behind me on the screen? I got a little freaked out then.
I wonder if that even can be tested, because if methane is in the water and it's so diluted, I wonder if they actually could.
Yeah, I mean,
figure that out.
Good point, because I mean, you wouldn't really know, would you, straight away?
Methane's not soluble, though, is it?
No, I don't know.
It would come up as a gas, so you'd see bubbles coming up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that you'd at least see some sort of...
bubbles.
Something, yeah, bubbles, or, yeah, you know, there would be like...
But like, in an area that's already known for, like, weird weather conditions, a few bubbles aren't going to go noticed.
That's a good point. I've now got a barking dog downstairs. Could the Bermuda Triangle be a portal, as you said, Omer, before, to another space and time? Yeah. A pilot by the name of Bruce Gernon says it is. He says, I didn't believe in time travel or teleportation until it happened to me. The pilot alleges that a fog surrounded his craft and that he leaped ahead 100 miles. Apparently, he documented what happened and memorized every detail of the flight and even published a book in 2017. So I know this. I've heard this story. He set off from one place and he was meant to fly to the Florida Keys. And it was meant to take him about 2 hours. So something like that. Mm-hmm. And he did it in 45 minutes. I mean, I don't know if that's just really good wind speed or he'd been drinking.
What year was this?
He published a book in 2017, but it doesn't say the year that it happened.
So So
because it could be BS, like
20 years from there.
If it was like they weren't keeping logs, but within 20 years, they should have been keeping like takeoff logs and all that stuff, you know?
So obviously when he's clocked in at the two towers, he's done it in 45 minutes. So, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know how he's done it. I don't know how he's done it.
I mean, he clocked in. Did they check his fuel consumption?
Good point. But they would have seen him on the radar at least. You would have seen him set off from one place, and then obviously he's disappeared into this fog, and at least then seen him arrive at the other end. So you've seen him set off.
Could have gone below radar. Could have actually just hitched a ride on a boat for all you know.
Good point, yeah. I think a plane might be faster. You think he's done just sort of like clipped onto a speedboat and let it go? And he's just hoped for dear life that it works. But like I said, we've got more.
Wind tunnel? Who knows?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he just got like a really good wind speed and just... but yeah, according to NASA, water sprouts are spinning columns of moist air that form over warm water. Much like a tornado in the ocean, water sprouts can feature speeds of wind up to 125 miles per hour. Because the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida is one of the most active areas in the world for this severe weather phenomenon, some have posited that it could be responsible for the Bermuda Triangle disasters. So we've got that one. I mean, that could reach a height of a low-flying plane.
Of five, I mean, though?
Yeah, that's very true. Again, it's one of those, this is what I mean. All these theories, they're just all head scratchers because it gives you some sort of an answer. But then you go, yeah, for one case, what about this case?
Feels like Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah, exactly. For every answer, there's another question. We just can't get there. So let's see what else we got. I'm getting to the end of my theories here now. So while unproven, this theory may be the closest truth, which is still about the... What am I on about here? I've got lost. I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. I'm lost. I've lost where I'm up to on my notes. Oh, no, that's a bit more to the water sprouts thing. So the bit with the water sprouts, it's not... It's very much unproven, but they believe that that's the closest to the truth, and that's what the United States Coast Guard and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have both stated, that any mishaps in the area now will likely be caused due to bad weather. So they're
okay,
all...
So-
now blame it on weather issues for everything.
On the water spouts, you're saying on that ship that went through and all the people were missing, the water just happened to take all the people off and leave the ship as is?
Leave everyone perfectly fine.
Specifically washed people off the plane.
Yeah, so, and left all like the dinner tables set and everything.
Kept everything, bed made. It come in, it dragged them out of the bed and sort of made the bed back up and then just sort of...
It's like the cartoon water hand.
Yeah, exactly. Each person. Yeah.
Not only did it grab the people, it reset the plates.
Yeah. Wash the floors.
Refolded the napkins.
Scrub the decks.
The
You'd be looking at it going, it looks a lot cleaner than it did before. It's nice.
It's just the Tasmanian devil doing a spit shine, isn't it?
And then my last theory, which is one of the fun ones, and it is out there, is that the Bermuda Triangle can all be answered because that's where Atlantis was meant to be.
I love that one.
And obviously when we've talked about Atlantis in the past, we even mentioned it could be there. But yeah, they're the theories that I've come across. That's what I've had. Now,
the Atlantis one had more to it. More proof.
Enlighten us, Omar.
There's a famous geographical sort of anomaly that's there in the Bermuda Triangle, which is the Bimin Road. Mm-hmm. It's just a series of stones that when divers went down, they said it looked like a road, but like there's no historical evidence to say people ever lived there or that was ever above ocean level to be livable. But there's a road of stones that weren't placed there by any man-made means, because generally when we put stones somewhere throughout history, some tool markings or something's on the stones, these all look naturally formed. There's nothing really holding them in place, but they do stay in place in a nice path. And there's another one that's closer to shore that's also looks like, there's two parallels, I think, that are close to each other. So it looks like there's a road down there that wasn't, well, we can't prove as man-made, which lent credence to the belief that Atlantis was down there, because why else would you need a road under the water?
I love that one. Whenever I hear Atlantis, I think of SpongeBob immediately, which is so stupid. But I've never heard about that road. I want to look into it. And there's no records, but who's to say we kept records or they didn't get lost?
Exactly.
If you're sitting with the water, you're holding the paper.
This
above.
Is the issue. Like, we can only go as far back as records go.
Take my scrolls.
Fact. Anything beyond there is not fact. It's speculation.
They throw the town crier up.
Almost have a serious conversation in which the background
one dude underwater with a bell going ding 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 this way to Atlantis.
Breaking news, water now above my head.
All Atlanteans, please follow Bimin Road.
I do like the Atlantis theory, and where obviously as well that they've said that there's magnetic fields that can cause disruption. We said that as well in our Atlantis episode, where we talked about that the writings tell us that they had advanced technology that used something that we hadn't seen before. And at that time, that we believed that it was there, which was, do you remember what century? Was it 9th century that we were talking about it? Something like that? In Plato's writings and things like that. And we said that obviously that they've got this technology that we've never seen before. And obviously the Disney movie sort of jumped on that bandwagon as well and sort of showed us how they, you know, they worked with these crystals and things like that, which they say that it could be that that was the idea behind it. And maybe sort of a magnetic field could be what's causing planes and boats to sort of sink and crash. Because if you notice that the wooden ships were all found just floating along, but anything built after that that was made of steel seems to have just either disappeared or they found it at the bottom of the ocean with the planes and things like that.
Are you saying it's like a sonic screwdriver? It doesn't work on wood.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't work on wood.
Oh, I didn't listen to your Atlantis episode. I have to right after this.
Go and give it a listen. It was a good BC. So yeah, there you go. Omer remembers. it's our season finale of season one.
It
was a good episode. But again, like I say, we've got lots of theories in there. So if you guys haven't listened either, go and listen in. And you'll hear more about the Bermuda Triangle side of theories there and Atlantis and what we've got there. Omer, man, you got any more?
What else did I have? Just clicked away from things and forgot things.
Don't click away from your notes. You need your notes. That's why we have second screens, to keep notes.
Yeah, we had the parallel universe, aliens, Atlantis. The other one, it was weird because it came across and we'd mentioned it earlier this season of cryptids actually living in the triangle. And that one actually came up, and I didn't think it would. Somebody else had the theory that there is something there, like a lost species of giant ish that is grabbing them. The one that doesn't explain is just like the water spouts. It's like, how big is this?
Yeah, how did they get in the planes? Yeah.
So high. But then again, if you are a sea creature with some level of intelligence to stay hidden and choose the Bermuda Triangle as your hiding spot, what's to say you weren't launching things up at them? Because all the
old boats, you're throwing all the old boats up there to knock them down. There you go. You did it as a kid when you were sat in the bath. You used to just throw your boats anyway. So there you go. Solved it.
Rubber ducky can fly.
That was just yesterday. I like that. I like that. Because obviously we said, didn't we, in our episode about Loch Ness, that that's where sort of like Nessie and all its other inhabitants sort of go on holiday.
Annual meeting of all the seafaring cryptids or lakefaring, because there's a lot that live in lakes and small bodies of water around the world.
Yeah, we just decided that they've all got a tunnel that sort of like leads under into the ocean and sort of pops them out there.
Much of the tunnels on Hollow Earth.
The Hollow Earth theory, yeah.
But have we even planned to do that one?
Yes.
I thought you guys said that there was paranormal too, possibly. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were through with your theories.
No, I do some theories. Omer brings the fun ones. And then we sort of rate them as well, which we haven't rated any of the episodes, any of the theories on this one. We will go back through and we'll rate them all in one go. So, because we have sort of like just dive past, because I was probably getting into the theories and I've sidetracked that. So that's my fault. I should have known that as the host. I should have sort of been like, how do we rate this theory? We will go back to it.
We'll do that. But the occult one was a few of the ships, the earlier ships, they couldn't find anything on the later ones or the aircraft, did have sort of occult stuff on them. But this looks more like they were carrying stuff that we now class as occult.
Like, okay.
Old pentagrams, candles made of black wax, things like this.
Mm-hmm.
They were all on the ships, and they were still on the ships that were found later. So the theory was that some of the ships had started like a summoning there or something, and that is what started everything, because the oldest recording, like the first mention, how old was it? Like 1600 that you were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it?
It was Columbus.
I think you said Columbus, 1692.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 1600s. I remember things. and back then, that was like the age where everyone was like becoming like anti-witchcraft and paganism and all of it. So it was like getting that away from the mainland to the New World would have been a great idea to ship it. And they shipped it, but they all diverged around there because they all would have gone with Columbus.
Wait, is it 1492 or 1692? Now I'm second guessing. 1492. Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, I think I said the wrong thing.
We've had a lot of numbers in this episode, so it's allowed. Even we got confused, and I've got the notes in front of me.
But yeah, a lot of occult stuff have moved past that point on it, like there. So it was like, maybe it is witchcraft that's causing all of it, because it's... You've got the water spouts, you've got the gas, you've got the radio signals disappearing due to the magnetic interference. There's a lot that's happening in one place that can just not be an odd place on Earth.
Yeah, that could also be different things pirates, in one place. The pirates could be like, I don't want that stuff, and just left it.
That could also be true. Yeah.
Obviously, as well, there's a
bad
theory
juju.
That... Bad juju. the theory that the... Obviously, they... Columbus saw a light floating in the distance and things like that. There's a theory that that's actually a ghost guiding him. So obviously he was meant to be sailing to India. He's gone the wrong way. And the ghost was guiding him to safety by basically landing him on the shores of America. So there's that theory there.
Pirates. I say it wasn't a ghost. It was the Flying Dutchman. So we can go back to pirates. I want to just dub this one as pirates.
I like the
pirates. So about Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
No.
We've already chalked up one episode to Johnny Depp.
Have you?
We did. I just can't remember which episode it was. Jack the Ripper. We said that Jack the Ripper was.
I've listened to a few of yours. I have to catch up.
Yeah, we said that Jack the Ripper is Johnny Depp.
Oh, I love it. I love the Jack the Ripper theories that it's a female. I don't think it is.
Yeah,
but
we've got that in there as well. Yeah, yeah. Jill the Ripper. Yeah, we've got it in there. But... Let's just go back through the theories and we'll rate them and what we've got. So obviously the first one was that the Bermuda Triangle has some freaky waves, just sort of like 100-foot waves. For me personally, on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm giving that a 1. I don't think there's much merit to it. As we said, I don't think those waves are going to reach high enough to hit a plane, even at 100-foot. There's no way a plane is only flying 100-foot from the floor. Liz, what about you? What are you giving on a scale of 1 to 5?
1 being the
lowest. Yeah.
Yeah, 1.
5 being like, I believe this.
1, garbage, don't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I can't give it a 1 just because I like the idea that the Bermuda Triangle is actually trying to be friendly to people and it's just waving. And like, I'm just trying to wave to them and killing them. And then, so I'm giving it a 2.
The theory of the magnetic field. For me, I kind of like that one. And I think it could mess about with compasses, sort of knock you off a bit of course, and obviously cause a bit of confusion. Giving it a 3 out of 5 for myself. Liz, what about you on a scale of 1 to 5?
I really like that one. That's like a 4. The only thing it doesn't take into account is the people. But yeah, the way that you said the
people
the boats,
that just randomly disappeared, and the people on the island with the lighthouse.
Unless that was just like a,
they were freak
an
accidents.
Offset one, yeah, yeah. But the boat and the lighthouse keepers,
they're the true freak accidents. Everything else can be chalked up to this.
Okay. So there are exceptions to the rule of the compass.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it.
They the all had thing fillings.
Last one had a pacemaker. That's what threw it off.
Oh man, what but about like, you?
My issue with that one is, even if your compass is wrong, it's still pointing north. It's the wrong north, but still north. So all you've got to do is head east to hit land. And that's all you need to do. But they, as soon as you get to
but
land,
they did
can
that. They did that and still wound out in just ocean. So they went westward and they still wound up in just ocean.
No, you wouldn't go west. You'd go east.
But they did, went east.
No. Yeah, you went. You'd go west. Sorry, I'm getting that mixed up. So yeah, you'd go west, and there's a big stretch of land. You would come over something unless you were totally blind.
That's what they were doing. They were just lost. They didn't know what was going on.
They were lost, but they could see the earth, right? They weren't.
They could
like
just
lost
see the ocean. That was
fog.
It. They could just see ocean. Everywhere they looked was ocean.
Yeah. Which tells them they're in the middle of ocean. So head west and find land. That's it. I don't see where like a compass could throw you that far off. Unless the fog was right above the land. And
this is an argument for
lost.
Another day.
No. Nope.
We could argue about this for hours.
Two.
The UFOs using the Bermuda Triangle as a way of transporting all our technology to them so they can study us using our boats and our planes. I like it. I'm going to give this one another 4. I like that one. I think that's fun. I could see it. I really could see it. Liz, what about you?
It's fun, but I don't believe it at all. I'll give it a 2 just for the funness.
That's fine. Omer?
Oh, it's definitely aliens. We've got a bunker that we just found out exists, and it proves it.
Omer's giving this a 5, I can feel it.
I'm now changing a lot of theories right now. This is a 5 because now I'm realizing Nazis weren't evil humans. They were evil aliens. This is why we had Nazi UFOs.
It was.
The Nazis were
listen,
aliens.
Listen, that was the case that the guy came on and told me. Another podcaster came on the Film Joe podcast and told me a Nazi alien story. And that was like the best UFO story I've ever heard.
Yeah, Nazi UFOs. It's amazing.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, Omer found the theory when we was doing our Roswell episode, and yeah, it was one of the theories that we had, and we liked it. It was really cool.
Oh, I love it.
It was like something that never crossed my desk, and now I realise if you just type Nazi UFO into Google, you'll see many images of what they looked like, or what they assumed to be looked like. There was one that was actually close to being built, but never finished, but maybe that
one's
just
that
we
know of. Now, obviously, because it wasn't proven, I'm still going to rate this one, and that's the methane pockets. For me, I'm giving that a 1, just for the fact that they've not done much research into it. It's a nice theory for what's going on around Norway, but not so much the Bermuda Triangle, because I've not actually done any research into it. So, if they did research and we had something, it'd probably be a solid 4, because I like it. But at the moment, it is just a 1. Liz, what about you?
I'm with you. 1. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Omer?
I feel like this one could get proved with a single match. So I'm going to give it a 1.
You're going to give it a 1 as well. The Bermuda Triangle is on a portal of space and time. Now, obviously, much like the alien one where they're taking everything, instead, it's just become a time tunnel that you can just travel faster through things. I just think it was really good wind speed. I'm giving it a 2. I like it, but it can be easily sort of gone, yeah, you just hit like a really good day. You've hit good wind speeds and you've made it pretty quick. And your plane was dead light. There was nothing in it but you. So for me,
skip breakfast that day.
Yeah, too. Exactly. Liz, what about you on that one?
Again, I don't believe it, but I'll give it a 3 because my son made me start watching The Flash and I'm learning about the different parallel
universes. Yeah, there we go. See, if we put in the flash into it, then maybe I can push it to a three.
Dr. Wells, you know.
I don't think the player had access to the Speed Force.
No.
Something tells me, unless he was hit by lightning while going through the Bermuda Triangle, that's what gave
Cisco
him access.
Cisco can do anything, okay?
Cisco can, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't on board this plane.
If you told me Cisco was the pilot, then I'd be like, yep, nope, believe it. But yeah, one yeah. for me on that.
The water spout theory. Now, I am giving this a four just because I did have images of a giant hand coming out, grabbing these people out of the bed and just sort of cleaning up after them, remaking the bed, tidying up a little bit and making it look like nobody was there. And I'm going to be dreaming about that tonight. And I'm terrified of the ocean, but I just like the idea that these water hands are coming out and doing everything for you. So I'm definitely
so
giving
helpful.
That a four. Yeah.
I just realised with this theory, we're technically misusing the Bermuda Triangle. We could just send empty boats through it and they come out clean the other end.
Mm-hmm. It's just
a business idea.
It's not a car wash, it's a boat wash. You just push it through and open the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
doesn't work on planes though. Doesn't work on planes. Don't take a plane through.
Yeah. Liz, what are you giving that one?
I'd give it a two. I don't believe it, but it made me laugh.
Oh man.
I just so want to see that show where it's just Pimp My Boat and they just put it through the Bermuda Triangle.
let's
like
yeah.
Okay. No, I'll give it a three. I'll give it a three.
Okay.
Because of that, because of the cleaning factor.
He's going to change his LinkedIn to podcaster / boat washer.
give everyone longitude and latitude of Bermuda Triangle. Actually, that'd be a good thing to do. If I get people to ride their boats through there, they go missing, I get the boats, I sell them on.
I've got pictures of like Omer on the poster in a sailor's outfit, just sort of come on down. Fun for all the family.
Welcome
three
to
boats
the boat
you
wash.
Get a free probing.
the other one is it's home to Atlantis, the lost city. Again, going on from what we said in season one about Atlantis to the road that you said, Omer, as well there. Again, I've got to give it a four just for the fact that anything with Atlantis really does sort of pique my interest. And I just like how we've sort of managed to tie season two finale to our season one finale at the same time. It's a good link between the two. So yeah, I'm definitely giving it a four. Liz, what about you?
That's a five. I love it.
Five.
I
nice.
I love it so much. That crier didn't die for nothing.
Take my scrolls.
Just need to go to Bimini Road, and at the end of it is just a soapbox with two shoes on it.
Oh, man, what are you giving the Atlantis theory?
I'm sticking to what I said about Atlantis. I just don't believe Atlantis exists.
Okay.
Existed. I do think it's like just something like fantastically made up fictionally and we've just latched onto it. But just the fact of the town crier, I'm going to give it a four because like you've got the road, him. Like the story's all about him now. It's nothing else.
Then Omer, your theories, what were they again?
The occult one. Like because occult items were left found on boats that were found there early. It was a stretch, and it was really a stretch. It was like somebody's random Reddit theory. So I like the idea that maybe there is. Maybe Cthulhu was summoned there.
Maybe.
Or something. I like it, but there's not enough, and it was just pure speculation. So I'll give that a two.
Liz, what are you giving that one?
I'd like to give it a three, just hoping that some of the occult items were there, so...
Yeah.
At Salem Witch Trials, they actually were putting spells on the jerks that were
killing
everybody. I'm going way off in my mind, but that's what I'm thinking.
We're going to hear some of your episodes next. I mean, I'm with you on that one, Liz, as well. I'm going to give it around about a three. I like that. Like you say, Omer, there's still bits to it that could be found, and there's still bits of information we could probably look into. But the premise of it, so, I like it.
There was one thing that I just remembered, and I left it out of my notes because it wasn't fun. Bermuda Triangle, like, given its proportion to sort of things that go missing in air and sea, the triangle doesn't have enough of a missing factor for insurance companies to actually charge you differently for going through it.
Okay.
So majority of maritime insurance companies do not give you charge you a premium for going through the Bermuda Triangle, which either tells me one of two things, and this was like something that I was like, so it's either it's not proportionally dangerous compared to just traveling the sea as normal.
Yeah.
Or we've got like a whole Illuminati situation, and that's where they're giving sacrifices.
Yeah. All right. So the insurance companies are the people doing the sacrificing.
Yeah. Like, tell everyone it's safe. Hey, we're telling you it's safe because, you know, we're an insurance company and not charging you a premium for going through it. Full well knowing they're going to go through it, but they're going to make profit from the sacrifice of them. That's why only people go missing.
Okay. I'll give it a 2. Like it. I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, now you have me thinking. I wonder proportionally how much missing activity there actually is in other patches of water in that area.
It's not that area. The ocean as a whole, the open ocean. So when you're talking like the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, like as a whole, it's like an equal amount of things missing. Or, you know,
maybe they're just all more reported. Maybe it's all more reported in one area. It's just because
the beauty of the Bermuda Triangle, it has that added factor of weirder weather conditions than reported anywhere else, and the fact that compasses don't work too well there. And that's what gives it its extra oomph, but not the amount of people missing is equal to if you picked an another triangular shaped spot of ocean in the Atlantic or the Pacific, you'd get a similar ratio of people missing or boats missing.
Yeah. Well, we also need to rate the, this is where Loch Ness and all his buddies come to have
The cryptid meeting.
A fun time, just sort of rock out with his cock out sort of thing, just floating around, you know, chilling out.
For those who don't remember, we figured out
in our Loch Ness episode,
late cryptids. So this is, so we were saying, what was it? Leviathan and Jormungandr were mum and dad. They gave birth to little babies that are now living in every lake and loch and small body of water around the world. And they meet up in Bermuda Triangle once annually just to see who's got the most stories about them. Nessie's been winning it for years, but
see, I reckon that Bigfoot hosts it. He's the host. He has a lilo. He just floats around on a lilo in the Bermuda Triangle and just chills, right? Nessie and all his mates just swimming around, and that's what happens. It's like a holiday home.
Like the Golden Globes.
Yeah, there you go. Cryptids. Yeah, they have like a big award ceremony. You know?
And that's where planes go missing. Just a family reunion. And if you get like the Thunderbird, who isn't too far from there, just showing up as well, like, he's just taking out the plane so they don't see
him. There you go.
Snallygaster. Just chilling out.
Yeah. See? All makes sense. We've solved it. This is why you'll never see any of us again, because we know too much. The crypt is coming for us. And that's it. We're done. I don't know. I'm giving it a 4. I'm giving that one a big fat 4. Liz, what about you on that one?
I'm with you.
I know it's 4. Crazy. It's absolutely balls to the wall idea, but it was great.
I don't believe it, but I wish it's true.
So. Yes.
I have this image of, like, all of them showing up in dicky bows. No suits or anything, just the bow just ties.
You don't think they'll all have matching T-shirts? Like, 2024 family reunion.
Somehow they'll be drinking tea underwater in a mug. we've all got top hats on, Bigfoot included.
I can, like, see it.
Because of that image, I'm giving it a 5.
There we go. Now, obviously, it comes to the end of most of the theories there. Liz, while you've been on the episode, have you come up with any theories of your own of what it could be? Or have you just enjoyed the theories that me and Omer have come out with?
I'm just into the Atlantis thing. I just want to look further and further into that. I didn't know about the road down there. But they said they didn't find any markings of it putting in, but that doesn't mean that humans didn't make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they said there weren't any markings to say tools were used in making it. Doesn't mean that, like, people couldn't have just plopped it down and be like, that'll do.
Yeah, but were there markings on the pyramids?
Yes.
Oh, there were?
See how much tool markings. Why'd you invite me? Yeah.
And corrosion water, that could have done something to it.
Yeah, depending on the type of stone it was.
So, yeah, we've had some fun theories that have been a little crazy, a little out there. I suppose they can't all be serious with the Bermuda Triangle, can they? Because we still don't know. But, as we do say on some of the episodes, if we could find out, would you want to know the truth? Liz, go to you first. If we could get the real evidence, definitive proof, would you want to know, or are you happy living in the wonderment that is the Bermuda Triangle?
I can never just give an easy answer, can I? it depends on what the answer is. Because if it's aliens and stuff, I don't know if I'm ready to hear all that. That, oh, there's been this whole secret civilization. But if it's like magnetic or something semi-explainable that wouldn't affect my life, then sure, yeah. I'd love to know.
What if you find out the aliens are actually Atlanteans? And then you find Atlantis.
I'm down. I want to know.
Omer, same to you. What would you want to know? Or are you happy living in the wonderment?
I feel like it's got a lot of explaining to do. So I'd like...
What, for all the things it's done? You go sit in that corner, Bermuda Triangle, and think about what you've done.
It made its own corner. What are you talking about? It's a triangle.
It's got three corners.
But I'd like to know more, especially about, like, this bunker, like, the road that was there. The other true north. Well, that is still confusing me. But, like, I'd like to know more about the things we do know about it. But, like, getting the full answer, like, I feel like I don't want to know if it's the magnetic answer, because that's so boring for me. I'd like to know there's something happy and exciting on Earth than just, like, meh, magnets.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you on that one. You know me, I'm always on the fence. I want to know, and I do want to know, and I'm really intrigued by it, and I have been for many years. But I think the whole reason that I've been interested in it for so many years is because we don't know, and it's the wonderment of it all. And because I don't know the truth, and I don't think we're anywhere close to getting the truth, we'll have answers. They'll go, here's a scientific reason, like they said with the water spouts. That's it. That's the whole thing. It's just chalked up to bad weather. I can't live knowing that. I don't believe that one bit. I mean, that's not to say that if they turned around to me and said it was aliens, I'd just go, oh yeah, I believe that. I'd want to see some sort of proof. And obviously I can't get the proof that it's just weather, because there's lots of different things that have happened. It might be the answer for one or two occasions, but as Liz has mentioned and brought back up, where did the people just randomly disappear to off the boat? You know, could it have just
Atlantis.
Been...
They're all just down below, chilling.
Could it have just been pirates just decided to sail out in the bad weather and then take board the ship and do one? But again, I suppose we'll never know. Maybe we will, but at this moment in time, I don't think we ever will. And I'm sort of happy living in the sort of ignorance is bliss sort of thing and just live with all the mysteries that come out and all the fantastic stories. And then when it does crop up in the news or you hear about it again just in passing, you think, oh yeah, I remember that story. That was really cool. And hopefully this episode can sort of trigger some people to sort of go and look at some stories themselves. And if you guys can find where the other point is where we can point true north, please do let us know. We are looking everywhere and we can't seem to find it. And we
Weird
would love
is,
to know.
Just on that point is the other... weird anomalous place, and I can't find out if it affects compasses, is the Devil's Triangle.
Yes,
just south of Japan.
Yeah,
but that is, as Liz said, it opposite end of the planet.
It is, it really is, because it is the setting as well for the Tomb Raider reboot game. came out, which we both played roughly around about the same time because we lived together at the time, and obviously we were obsessed with the fact that it was on this little island that was sort of in line with the Bermuda Triangle, and it just fascinated us, and I think that sort of has also helped sort of entice this episode and why we wanted to do it in this season. But I think there, as much as there is so much more to talk about and go through, we'll start boring people at this point, and they're just thinking, please, it was good, just don't do any more. Leave season two as it is, it's perfect, leave it. So we are going to end season two there. I just want to say thank you so much to Liz for being on this episode. You've been
Thanks
a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been... I tell you what, you've come on and asked questions that we didn't have answers to, which makes me think that for season three, me and Omer need to be a lot more prepared for our guests, as they may come on with questions that we need to be able to answer. But we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope that you will come back again another time. We also want to say thank you to everyone who's been on this season. There's not been many episodes where me and Omer have just been alone, but it's been nice to actually have other people.
Don't leave me alone with him again.
It's been nice having other people come on and sort of share their ideas, their theories, and everything else in between. It has been fantastic. I know this might be something different to what most other podcasters have done, and I know obviously when you look at our poster, we may look like a serious podcast, but we try and be funny at the same time. We just don't take it too seriously because we want to have fun, and that's what we're here for. We hope you've enjoyed our second season. Like I say, season three will be hot on the heels of this one. We start recording in about 2 weeks' time after we've recorded this one. So when this episode is out, we'll probably already be halfway through recording season three, ready to launch. But I have a baby on the way, so there will be a little bit of a break. But it will be there somewhere. It'll just be a bigger break between season three and four. But yes, again, Liz, thank you so much for being on. Remember, please do go and check out our podcast. Liz, just give your show out another shout out before we go.
My show is Ouch, Was That a Ghost? I'm on, I think, every streaming platform.
Pretty much everywhere we are as well. Yeah, everywhere we are. And we do share quite a lot as well as a lot of other shows as well. And some of the guys that have been on, like the Let's Talk podcast, we've had them on, we've had Liam on the show. We will be starring on one of his episodes very soon. And then I'm going to start showing Omer off and throwing him on some other shows while I have to be a dad for the first time properly. At the moment, I'm a stepdad, but I'm going to be a proper dad and I have to go and do dad things. So Omer's going to go and do the show on other podcasts and do things like that. But yes.
Sorry for those podcasts.
Yeah, so do I. You can come and look after the baby if you want, and I'll do the podcast. It's entirely up to you. But on that note, we're going to end those rolling credits, and we shall see you in season three.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this intriguing journey through the unknown. We've had a blast exploring mysteries, conspiracies, and the extraordinary with you.
If you've enjoyed our discussion and want to stay updated on our latest episodes, make sure to hit the subscribe button and share the caffeinated love.
And if you've got a conspiracy theory or an unsolved mystery and you'd like us to delve into it, don't hesitate. Drop us a line. We love hearing from you.
Until our next caffeinated adventure, keep sipping on curiosity and remember that sometimes the truth is hidden behind the most unexpected place. This is Omer.
And I'm Glenn, signing off from Caffeinated Conspiracies. Cheers, and until next time, take care and may your curiosity never run dry.